This is the Quality News Network. Israel launched a rocket attack this morning, demolishing the Hamas security headquarters in Gaza City and wounding at least 40. Palestinians and Israelis have been trading rocket fire back and forth since the truce between factions Hamas and Fatah collapsed last weekend. Truces have been called between the two Palestinian factions, most fall apart within hours. The Jerusalem Post reports a 25-year-old Palestinian has been arrested for plotting to assassinate Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The Palestinian physician is from the Gaza Strip and works for the humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders. Today is the 45th birthday of BBC reporter Alan Johnson. He was kidnapped by gunmen in the Gaza Strip 9 weeks ago and hasn't been heard from since. The World Bank meets again today behind closed doors to discuss the resignation of its president, Paul Wolfowitz. CNN reports Wolfowitz will step down perhaps as early as today, but he says he will not do so under a cloud of scandal. Diplomats from the U.S. and Iran will meet May 28th to discuss security in Iraq. The negotiations will take place in Baghdad. In Estonia, NATO cyber-terrorism experts are attempting to help the small country shore up its cyber-security following 3 weeks of massive, crippling cyber-attacks on the websites of government offices, banks, businesses, and newspapers. It is thought to be the first time an entire country has been targeted. Polls have opened in Algeria. As many as 18 million Algerians will be voting in parliamentary elections. Diplomats in Europe and the U.S. are watching carefully. The resource-rich country is considered a key ally in the battle against Islamic extremism. In Paris, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, today appointed a moderate as his prime minister. Inaugurated yesterday, right-wing Sarkozy has promised France dramatic social and economic reforms. In South Carolina, the legislature is debating a law allowing gun owners who have concealed weapons permits to bring their guns onto public school grounds. Supporters say if there were more guns on campuses, there would be fewer incidents like last month's Virginia Tech massacre.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
A 3-year European scientific expedition in Antarctic waters has found more than 700 new species of flora and fauna. Researchers were surprised at the rich diversity because Arctic seas are relatively barren. Marine biologists are attempting to use whale song to lure an injured humpback whale and her calf out of the Sacramento Canal and back out to the open water of the Pacific coast. Both of the animals appear to be severely wounded by a boat's propeller. The U.S. Census Bureau today announced 1/3 of Americans are members of a racial or ethnic minority. Bureau officials put the number at nearly 101 million residents. Hispanics comprise the largest single group. Hewlett-Packard posted a 27% boost in quarterly profits on revenues of $25.5 billion. The world's largest PC producer credited cost-cutting and strong sales. Yesterday, Andy Warhol's painting, Green Car Crash, sold to an unidentified buyer for nearly $71 million. It is the most money ever paid for the pop icon's work. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $62.94 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 47 points, NASDAQ up 6, S&P 500 up 4. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. It's even stronger in the race. Yeah. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right! Good day, everybody! Welcome aboard to Foxed Up here for a Thursday, where most of you are. It's early Friday here. It's John Fox on the Head On Radio Network, and gonna kind of get a little in-depth. I've got one subject for today. I'm not going to go rolling off a million things like I usually do, because I find this really kind of exciting. And we're going to talk about spegs. You're going, spegs? What's a spegs? Well, spegs is an acronym for Solar Heat Pump Electrical Generation System. Now, this is really, really interesting. Now, I don't know if you all saw, I covered this a little while back. In Spain, they've opened up this the world's first base power generating solar geothermal power plant, and it's this massive array of mirrors that points up to this tower, which is actually a heat collecting tower where all these mirrors focus up on it. And using basic steam turbine technology creates base power. And they're able to actually, in that system, they're actually able to store the steam so that when the sun goes down, they then pump the steam from the tanks, release the steam from the tanks to power the generator. Now, this system that I'm going to discuss today is actually an open source system, okay? Meaning there's no patenting on this. And I think that this is kind of brilliant, more than kind of brilliant. And this is what the Spanish system is based on. And you can find the technical data on it, and there's some images and some animations at spegs.org, that SHPEGS.org. And this is bagel with a schmear. No, I'll have my power with a speg. just the opening description here, it says this is a project design and build a system that uses a combination of direct and indirect solar collection to generate electricity and store thermal energy in an economical environmentally friendly, scalable, reliable, efficient, location-independent manner using common construction materials. So this is the thing. This is not like pie-in-the-sky technology stuff. This is technology we already have. The project is being managed with a similar methodology to open-source software development. And the ideas and contributions are being published openly on the Internet without an attempt to secure patents. The hope is that with an open philosophy that the project shows similar rapid application development and success as Linux and other open-source software projects and provides a system that can meet future energy requirements in a sustainable manner. I think this is brilliant. And, I mean, this is already being done. This is already being done. There's an entire city being powered solely off of this technology. So, they get into the design. I'm going to read some stuff, actually, from the technical site, and then I'll go to some other places as well. I mean, this is real stuff. This is not smoke a doobie and dream about it technology. This is stuff that has already been done, and this is also and I'll even get into some stuff later on where you can actually do this same exact technology for your house. It's scalable. Here they say the design. The main focus of the design is to build a feasible renewable baseload power station for moderate climates like Canada and the northern USA, Asia, and Europe, where there is high solar isolation during the summer, but very cold temperatures and little daylight in the winter. And this is being based out of Canada. And I don't have pricing on this, but I mean, this is seriously. Someone's asking how much would a single dwelling unit cost. If you go to today's show post at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com, you will see links where they actually show people and it's with single what they call heliostats, which is basically just a huge curved mirror. You can build one of these things yourself. Okay. Geothermal power plants are an established technology to provide baseload electrical power generation. In a northern climate, there are two annual peak electrical usage periods, in the summer due to air conditioning and in the winter due to structure heating and low daylight hours. Direct solar systems match the summer electric load, but they provide almost no output during the cold and dark winter months. The SPEG system attempts to use geothermal storage and the cold winter temperatures to build an electrical generation system that matches the electrical usage load as closely as possible. To allow a geothermal system to be location independent and to have the thermal source very close to the system, a massive solar water heater is built to heat a very large amount of underground thermal storage during the summer months. Power is generated while heating this thermal storage in the summer and becomes a very efficient geothermal power system in winter due to the close location of the thermal storage versus a deep geothermal source and the cold winter climate. To improve performance of the solar thermal system, the solar heat is used to power a heat pump that transfers a much larger amount of heat from the warm summer air. The cold winter temperature allows for cooling a very large mass to sub-zero temperatures in the winter that provides efficiency in the summer power generation. So basically what happens is, you've got a bi-directional system. You have your heliostats, which are these huge curved mirrors, and you have big, like in a large baseload system, are aimed at the top of this tower, which contains the water system and the turbines. And as the steam pressure is forced downwards, it goes down to the bottom of the tower, and that steam then gets stored in the ground. And when the winter months come, you then have cold air temperatures and just the natural convection. The heat stored in the ground will then go up the stack to spin the turbine. This is outrageous stuff. I think this is outrageous. Okay, we're coming up on our first break. I'm already running over, so stick around. We got a lot more to do with this. I think this is some of the most exciting stuff I've seen in a long, 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 long time. So stick around, folks. Here with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we're talking about shbags. We'll be back right after this.
Baron has a simple dream. He calls it his plan B. Building the sky and the air is sugar free, and everyone's very friendly. Well, plan B arrives on a holiday. Check a cab to the shopping malls.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together, we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're talking about shbags, and that's not a bagel with a schmear. This is geothermal power, solar heat pump electrical generation systems. And you can find the details that I'm reading directly from at shpegs.org, S-H-P-E-G-S.org. Okay. Because I don't want to read the whole thing. I mean, it gets fairly technical, but the concept and the process is really, really quite simple. It says the system concept may be adapted to arid, tropical, and Arctic regions to allow for base load reliable power generation from solar thermal. The major power output of the system is in potential doubling the thermal output of an existing heat source by using the heat to move much more heat from the ambient air and generating electrical power with that heat in a traditional binary geothermal turbine system. The convection turbine in the tower is secondary and a small percentage of total system output. The heat source may also be deep geothermal, coal, or other waste heat sources. A convection tower, in other words, a bidirectional chimney, allows the large quantities of air to move across the heat exchangers, taking advantage of buoyancy to improve air exchanger efficiency over a forced air system. A large heat storage system, water, sand, stone, or earth, either natural or man-made, is used to store both the heat from the air and the heat collected from the solar geothermal source until the air is cooler, either day-night cycle or seasonal. This stored heat is relatively close to the system as compared to deep geothermal, and the energy to pump the heat is relatively low. The system uses both a steam turbine and a wind turbine in the tower to generate baseload electricity. The steam cycle has many similarities to the Kalina cycle being attempted in OTEC applications, and that's just all getting into really, really heavy stuff. But it says how it works. One, a tower is built to allow large quantities of air to move across heat exchangers by natural convection due to buoyancy. I mean, this is purely just the difference between hot air and cold air. You know, hot air rises. So when you don't have the big mirrors heating up the top of the tower, when the sun's out or in the summer, the stored heat underground ends up going the other way just by the nature of physics. Two. Solar thermal or deep geothermal heat is used to power a heat pump, which moves a much larger amount of heat from the air. Three, both the heat from the air and the heat powering the heat pump are stored in shallow heat storage. Four, the thermal storage is used to exploit the difference in temperature changes due to daytime heating between the air and the shallow underground, either day-night or seasonally. In effect, this creates a local geothermal source, and the low media transfer energy allows for efficient geothermal generation systems. So, in other words, the storage is right underneath the tower, and this is the kind of technology that is being used at Cramer Junction in California, and also in Seville, Spain. And it's Seville, Spain is the one that's really using this heliostat thing. We're talking This is serious business. I mean, it's technology we already have. And that's where true genius comes in. Not coming up with the next great revolution or thing that's all brand new, but using things that we already have in ways that we haven't thought of before. And they say in moderate climates where there are substantial differences in air temperature throughout the day, night, or seasons, the systems would function bidirectionally. The hot air cycle, ambient air warmer than the ground. A low boiling point fluid, ammonia, is expanded in the heat exchanger in the tower, and where it boils, anhydrous ammonia boils at minus 33 degrees centigrade. It expands. The ammonia is then absorbed into cool water. The aqueous ammonia solution is heated by solar thermal collectors or deep geothermal heat, and the ammonia boils off under pressure. The ammonia vapor is condensed, and the pressurized anhydrous ammonia is then returned to storage. Some of the heat is converted to electricity, and the subsequent heat is stored. The cooled air falls into the tower, creating wind, and this energy is also captured in the wind turbines. Then there's the cold air cycle. The heat stored underground is used in a turbine very similar to existing geothermal systems. The turbine air is cooled with heat exchangers in the tower, and the heat causes convection in the tower, and this also is also captured in the wind turbine and converted to electricity. They go in tropical implementation. I mean, this can be used virtually everywhere, and they have downloadable PDFs for all these locational variations. Aside from Arctic, they're still working on that, but I can see that there would be unique challenges there. But also, with the reflective properties of snow, I would see that there are other ways to make this whole thing work, even in an Arctic environment. But tropical. In high humidity tropical climates, the ambient air temperature remains relatively close to the shallow surface Earth temperature, and the temperature gradient would not make a bidirectional system feasible. The extraction of clean water from the humid air at a height is a major benefit to the system in a tropical location. A twin tower in a U-shaped system with a continual down and updraft airflow would be a design intended to dissipate as much heat as possible in a hot climate. The system would use large anhydrous ammonia storage to allow night operation and require large solar collectors to recover the ammonia in the day. During sunlight periods, the solar collectors and ammonia storage would need to be large enough to allow sufficient ammonia to be recovered and repressurized to allow for continual operation. So it's a closed system. The system wouldn't use thermal storage, and the ground wouldn't be utilized as a heat sink to dissipate excess heat. And here it says, many people have difficulty visualizing why the system is net energy positive, because when refrigerants, low boiling point fluids, are mentioned, they lose the concept of the steam engine and start thinking about refrigerators and air conditioners. Refrigerators and air conditioners require energy and are not energy positive because they are moving heat from a cold area to a warmer one, like pumping water uphill. But this system is always moving heat from a warmer area to a colder, like water flowing downhill, and so it is energy positive. I mean, I'm just like so unbelievably excited about this technology, and I think everyone out there, within the sound of my voice, should go grab all these links and email them to your representatives and say, we should be doing this. We should be doing this now. Now they go into the Arctic areas. It says, in an Arctic climate... Do I have time for this? Oh, yeah. In an Arctic climate where there is access to medium-temperature geothermal, a much simpler system than existing low-boiling-point fluid steam turbines can be built with a convection tower. The major benefits of this system are simplicity, potentially could have lower construction and maintenance costs than complicated low-gradient fluid turbine systems. This system would perform well through the cold season, and the temperature gradient from 70 centigrade geothermal to minus 30 centigrade ambient air allows for high efficiency. For this system to be efficient in a convection-only system, the tower would need to be extremely tall. Induction of moisture to the air lowers density and increases buoyancy, but will probably cause snow and ice crystals to fall in the local area. Okay, so you end up with some artificial snow. I can't see that being, you know, as opposed to pumping out carbon and methane and sulfur. You got a snow-making machine that's giving you your power. How cool. Oh, it's just so, so awesome. All right, we're coming up on on the bottom of the hour break. And I hope I'm not going too fast with all this, because I know it's a lot of information, and it's a lot to cover in 1 hour. But it really is exciting stuff. And if you even get absorb 10% of this, I really want you to go to the blog. Go to the foxedup.headonradionetwork.com blog, and I want you to go and take a real look at this and check the animation out at the spegs.org site. Spegs. Power brought to you by Spegs. I just think it's a riot. Anyway, stick around, folks. We're going to take this quick break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to finish some of this technical brouhaha, and we're going to get into where this comes into smaller systems as well. So you listen to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back. And now, I almost forgot about the track of the day. We'll get to that as well. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Insufferable, informal, crazy fools. Wait with their fingers crossed for you to break the rules.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Oh, Tool! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Boys, I love that big chord. It's just groovy.
Thank you.
experiencing some technical difficulties. We'll be back in 1 second with John Fox.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. There's a terrorist in our midst, and George Bush doesn't seem to care. His name is Luis Posada Carriles. This longtime Castro hater was convicted in Venezuela of being the mastermind behind the 1976 mid-air explosion of a Cubana Airlines jet carrying 73 people. He managed to escape from a Venezuelan prison and then helped out the CIA in the Iran-Contra affair. He's also been implicated in the bombing attacks on Havana hotels in 1997. He's a real charmer. After sneaking into the U.S. a couple years back, Posada was caught and arrested for lying about how he got into the country. But on Wednesday, a judge dismissed the case and Posada walked free. A hero to some right-wing Cubans living in Miami, he is, in actuality, a mass murderer. Cuba and Venezuela have understandably demanded his extradition. Cuba's top diplomat in D.C. says the White House is doing all it can to protect the bin Laden of this hemisphere. That may be a bit hyperbolic, but both bin Laden and Posada used airplanes as vehicles to kill innocent people with. You won't hear Bush denouncing Posada, though. In his highly touted war on terror, this is one terrorist Bush actually likes. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Alright, sorry about that. My bloody IP reset again. Sorry about that. So anyway, we were wrapping that up, and so this is a scalable thing, and it gets into the economics that this is doable. This is so doable. I'm just so excited by this technology. Okay, I want to do the track of the day just because, you know, and it's very appropriate. So we'll take the track of the day and we'll go out for a quick break. We didn't lose too much there. So what else could I play today when we're doing this subject? But Here Comes the Sun. Baby, Here Comes the Sun. It could actually save us on this. This could actually save us. You know, this is real stuff. And the fact that the technology is being put out as an open source thing without patents, I think is brilliant, because it'll just open it up. There won't be special interest nonsense dealing with this. So without further ado, track of the day, Better Late Than Never, off of Abbey Road, Here Comes the Sun. Roll it, Agnes.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business,
anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Foxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Across the night was the moon that stole my slumber. Across the night, I fell in love with people sleeping.
Back to be talked up here on the Head On Radio Network. And before we run out of time, I want to get into a little bit about how this concept of is scalable. And I just tossed into the chat room a link to a website, practicalsolar.com. Now this is a commercial outfit, but they're working on scalable versions of these heliostat systems. And these are you look at the mirrors that they've got, and so these are like for your house, and the mirror systems are about 4 foot by 4 foot, okay, and there's an image gallery there where they show one array actually pointing at the two windows of an apartment building, and that's where and using it for heat. And here they say applications for heliostat system thermal. Our standard system is easily adapted for applications requiring low-grade thermal energy under 232 degrees Celsius or 450 Fahrenheit. Oil or steam is the preferred heat transfer medium for applications in the range of 100 to 232 degrees centigrade. For applications requiring thermal input below 100 degrees centigrade, water can be used as the heat transfer medium. The system can be customized to increase the concentration of energy for applications requiring higher than 232 centigrade. Thermal applications include building space heating, especially hydronic heating systems, hot water heating, air conditioning, thermal desalination, swimming pool heating, hydrogen production for fuel cells, and miscellaneous applications. Can also be used for natural lighting. Incandescent lighting systems produce about 15 to 18 lumens of visible light per watt of electricity consumed. Fluorescent lighting is somewhat better, producing 30 to 40 lumens per watt. Electrical energy not converted to light is dissipated as heat. Incremental costs of air conditioning to remove heat generated by electrical lighting systems cost U.S. industries and households billions of dollars per year. There are over 100 lumens per watt of sunlight. Thus, natural lighting produces 2 to 7 times as much light per watt of energy than electrical lighting. Natural lighting is gentler to the human eye, reducing eye fatigue and eliminating headaches associated with fluorescent lighting. Practical solar heliostats can be used to provide natural lighting through the windows of the shady side of a building. Further, the heliostats can augment light input into atriums, natural lighting receivers, and light tubes. Also, electrical power. Practical Solar is developing a small-scale distributed generation system capable of delivering 5 to 50 kilowatts of electrical power. This will be accomplished by using some combination of the following: advanced photovoltaic technology, such as thermovoltaic cells to directly convert solar energy to electricity, organic Rankine cycle, microturbines using low-grade thermal energy, waste heat from the receiver to boil an organic fluid to drive the turbine, so small versions of the SPEG system. How cool! How bloody cool! I'm just so blown away by this, and the photo gallery is great. And another, the other two links that I have up on the blog today, there's a really great piece from a website called The Future of Things, which is tfot.info. And they cover more in a shorter form the open source SPEGS process system. They also get into offshore wind turbine systems, the air rotor systems, which are kind of interesting. It's like a floating wind turbine. It's like a turbine kite. Geothermal. Standard geothermal and some other things that are just, you know, it's brilliant stuff. And there's an interview actually with Robert Rowatensky, who's one of the developers of the SPEGS process, and this is just brilliant stuff. And also there is a link to the BBC also covering this concept of the SPEGS system. And they open it up saying, there is a scene of one of the Austin Powers films where Dr. Evil unleashes a giant tractor beam of energy at Earth in order to extract a massive payment. Well, the memory of it kept me chuckling as I toured the extraordinary scene of the new solar thermal power plant outside Seville in southern Spain. From a distance, as we rounded a bend and first caught sight of it, I couldn't believe the strange structure ahead of me was actually real. And it's a 40-story high concrete tower. I mean, it's just awesome stuff. It's just awesome stuff. So please, 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 please forward this information on to everyone. And get on your local representatives, your local power companies. You know, they don't have to pay for any of the rights to this technology. Go ahead, build it. Build it, and the electricity will come. Oh, and okay, programming note. You heard the promo for Billy Shears in that last break there. And just to remind you that tomorrow, being Friday, that means it's Billy Shears Day on Foxed Up. And if I'm not mistaken, he's... I mean, the Billy Joel series was fantastic, but he's moving on to another one of my favorites. He's gonna cover Roy Orbison, and you won't want to miss him covering Roy Orbison, you know. And again, congratulations on the wedding of your daughter last weekend, Mr. Shears. And I imagine you would have approved of today's track of the day. So, you know. Like I said, check out the blog today. There's all these links are up there. You can go and have a look. Check out the animation on the SPEG system. Those of you that, you know, have dig accounts or stumble upon accounts or whatever, spread this thing, you know, spread this thing. I really think because it is an adaptable and scalable technology that is low cost. I mean, the scalable systems from Practical Solar, they reckon are doable in, at a fraction of the cost of you know, most current solar systems. And these things can create baseload power, and it can be used for not just electrical generation, but heat, supplemental light. It's just fantastic stuff. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. I'm going to see if I can also find, maybe someone is stuck up on YouTube. There was actually a really great piece from the BBC Television News. I imagine that this link that I've got here is the print version of it. In fact, as I'm looking at the post, there's a link to the video. You can actually see video of this guy up in the tower, and he talks about how like unbelievably bright it is in the area because of the concentration of all this natural light, which runs a steam turbine. I mean, this is really basic technology. Mother Nature will provide, if we allow her to do so. Why fight it? Go with what we got. I think it's just brilliant. So thanks for, you know, being with me today and you know, tuning in and, you know, having all this stuff shoveled at you, because I know it was a lot of information. And I think we'll come back to this. I think Agnes and I need to make some moves about maybe possibly getting some of the people involved in this technology on the program. I think it would be very, very interesting. And you know, we're not going to hear about this stuff through the mainstream media, so we got to do it. That's why we're here. And a big thank you to Mike Malloy for the wonderful plugs on the horn on his program last night. Had a really great. I really enjoyed the conversation last night. He's a good egg. I like that, man. So, everyone, thanks for being with me today. Thank you to Agnes for producing today. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything they do, the bloggers, the mods, Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for all the music. Thanks to Billy Shears, and we got Shears coming up tomorrow. It's all good stuff. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dogfish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than
face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish.
With you on the second hour of the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. I'm, of course, Jeff. No, I'm Barbara Wilson. Yes, I'm Jeff. Used to get a kick out of that. I listen to talk radio. Welcome back to the Mandy Badambi Show. I'm Mandy. No, I'm Bob. I'm just saying his name. Of course, I'm Jeff. To all the great Wolfpack listeners out there, thank you, by the way, for the letters, the emails, wishing support to Natasha. We really do appreciate that, and We've said it before, and we really mean it. We exist because of you. We do not exist.